mean that here this evening, laying ourselves before the Lord, and encouraging the song service already. We'll take our Bibles and turn to James, chapter 4. Last time we looked at lots of interpretive possibilities, we went through that mental rigor of determining what the passage meant. We had a blessing at the end. I'm hoping that the blessing will be at the beginning here, and we'll just keep on enjoying the application of what we have before us. We're going to, I think, we're going to look at three things in this verse, in verse 6. We're going to focus in on grace this week, and next week we're going to choose the phrase, "He giveth grace unto the humble." Then we're going to look at the requirements for grace, and then we're going to look at the opposite of grace, God resisting the proud. Those three things, I think, over the next 3 weeks, if the Lord allows that to happen. And so I would like to focus in on the very first phrase here. It says, "But he giveth more grace." There's an aspect to which, when I think about this element of grace, that God gives to us, saying it supersedes, it is more than what we need, whether it be in reference to our own spirit, pulling away from the Lord, yearning for that which is not right. And I think there's an aspect when you look at this whole passage, you see that lust and our heart is the problem, and we're adulterers, and all of this, and James does bring us to a place of brokenness. He wants us to get to this place where we'll just humble ourselves, or we might be afflicted and mourn and weep, as he goes on to say, and humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. He wants us to live in that reality. But the truth from the very beginning is that if we will humble ourselves, God gives grace. And God gives us more grace than our sins. He overcomes. And God's grace just abounding in fruit. I'm going to start off with just a couple verses of scripture that are going to help us, and then some of my favorites on grace. And one of them is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the other one's in 2 Corinthians. Both of the others are 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, I don't know if you've had the same feeling that I've had when you read this verse, but I remember, I don't know exactly the moment, but I remember passage of scripture being related to me in regards to this. I remember seeing what the truth was, and it opened before my eyes, and I thought, that just covers everything. That covers everything all the time. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Now, we could start off with saving grace. "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." The Apostle Paul recognized that everything that he was and is, from the person that God made him to be to the person that God was making him into be, who he was all by the grace of God. And encompasses the entire aspect of the establishing or the starting place of his life by God's grace. And he says, "And his grace was not bestowed upon me in vain." Now, when God does, if we're going to emphasize grace, which I'm excited about even this Sunday, we're looking at God's grace. And I have something here to throw in this passage. God's grace almost always motivates us towards some type of action. We're going to see that over and over again in the sequence in Deuteronomy. It's part of what the message was last time. Because of God's grace in restoring us, he has this requirement for us. He says, "I don't want that grace that God's given me to be bestowed in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all." As a Christian, as someone who is established by God's grace, he was working for the Lord. He was serving him. And he says, "You know what? But it was not. It was the grace of God." So everything that I progress, so there's saving grace, or we can call it starting grace, or whatever you want to refer to that, and then there's progressing grace. there's going on. There's laboring grace that God gives to us. And that just covers all of our lives. Where I'm at right now and what I'm doing. All right, let's look at another verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9. It says in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound for you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And so he's saying here, God has abounding grace. He can make all grace, every facet, every need that you want God to answer, he can make that grace abound for you. He has more grace. That's what he wants to give to us. And let's just look at one more verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm looking right at it. Oh, there it is. It's in red. That's why I couldn't see it. Verse 9. And he says, my grace is sufficient. Abounding grace is sufficient grace. So, you've got a starting grace, you've got strengthening grace, you've got abounding grace, you've got sufficient grace, everything that you need. And I mean, we could look throughout the New Testament, all kinds of different things, but just begin to think about this reality. He gives more grace. Grace is the answer to every single circumstance we're in. If there was someone here today that says, you know what? I have lived a life apart from God. And I am a sinner. And I have no right of access to God's throne. And every time I think about God, I feel guilty before Him. If I stand before Him, I know He's going to condemn me to hell because of my sin. You know what God wants to do? He wants to give more grace. He has grace to justify. You say, you know what? I come and I've been struggling. There are temptations that are coming around me and my own spirit. I find myself over here. I am not controlling my temper. I am not controlling my desires. I am not controlling my tongue. I am experiencing defeat in my life. God has more. When you say, no, I've been put in a particular situation where I feel like I'm in a strait, I'm in a rock, in a hard place. I have experienced rejection. I have experienced pain. I have experienced someone's sin against me, and it's deep. He has sufficiency. Today you may come and say, you know, I've been working hard. And I have been pouring out my heart for the Lord. Whether it be in prayer or in service or willing in both. And you get to a place where you feel like I'm running out of energy and strength. I'm wearing thin. I don't have much more to give. When you say spend and be spent, my bank account is empty. Element, riches of His grace. Whatever we need, God has grace to give to us. It is abundant. It is sufficient. God is the answer. Let's not look at our problems. Let's not look at the past and our sin and our failure. Let's look forward, pressing on to the goal that He has for us. Because God has grace to overcome. He has grace to sustain us in our service for Him. God wants to bless us at every hand. May we come and look and say, you know what, God? I need your work. I need you to bless my life. I need you to bless my ministry and my service. You know what happens? You're going to come to the end of your life, and you're going to be crossing a river that you've never crossed before. And there's a veil of blackness that you've never seen before. You're going to come right up to the brink of the shore of death. And God gives you dying. And then when you get into heaven, you walk upon those wonderful, beautiful golden streets, and you see the city and the love. You know what the reality is? God gives you peace. Overflow of from you, continue forever to meet your needs, because God wants to, in the ages to come, to show forth the eternality of His kindness and His grace. God wants to show you that it never ends. His heart towards us is open. It's not that we ever earn grace, because grace is always a free gift. God does have those that He wants to give to. It's not those who are doing it right, necessarily. It's those who recognize. So, Lord willing, I'd like us to look next time at the glory. Because God has opened this avenue of grace to everyone. Because He said, I'll give it to anyone. May God help us and lead us in that path. May we seek God's grace and see it in every part of our life.